Welcome to the WP SEO Show, brought to you by SEO Hive, your proactive white label SEO partner. The WP SEO Show is all about talking WordPress and SEO, from optimizations, structures, setups, and plugins. We explore how to make your WordPress website perform better in the search engines. Here are your hosts, Pete Everett and Jeff Patch.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the WP SEO Show. I am your host, Pete, and I'm joined by my friend all the way from California, Mr. Jeffrey Patch. How are you doing?
Hey, Pete, I'm good. How are you? California, that sounds cool when you say it like that.
California, I think that's from a song.
I want to say it's like Dr. Dre or Tupac. I mean, the West Coast is the best coast, as they say, you know what I mean?
Well, you know, I couldn't possibly comment. Living literally smack bang in the middle of England, I couldn't be more landlocked in Great Britain than where I live. So, hey, I'm not east, I'm not west, I'm just smack bang in the middle.
You're a centrist. You're as central as it comes.
Being called many things, but that's probably not one of them, I'll be honest. So I should say, I mean, we did make a conscious decision a few episodes ago not to go into the whole, hey, I'm your co-host and this is my co-host kind of discussion. And then I've just realized I introduced myself as the host and didn't mention that you were also a host. And therefore, does that make us hosters or hosties? Anyway,
I don't know, but now I want some Hostess cupcakes or something. Do you guys have Hostess products over there in the UK?
No, we don't have those over here.
Oh, no, they're the most delicious factory manufactured treats you can ever find.
So I didn't mean to do that. And look, anybody that's like thinking of on the same sort of trajectory as my brain's going, I'm trying to figure out a way of getting GoDaddy into the conversation. So being host.
What? No. But don't worry, my ego is not hurt. We can be co-host. You can be the host. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm just, in all honesty, I'm so happy that people listen to our podcast.
I know. I'm amazed that people get through these ridiculous introductions that we do as well. I mean, you know.
I figured they would just drop off right about now, and you know. But hey. We're just getting the tire kickers out of the way, and if you're still here, we know that you're dedicated, and we love you, and we appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely,
something like that.
So, sorry, that wasn't a snigger at not appreciating people. By the way,
that was
a snigger at Mr. JP.
Our ridiculousness, how we don't know how to start a podcast.
absolutely. So, diving in now, I'm going to premise this episode by saying, when we started this podcast, which we should have done months, if not years before we did, but when we started this show, we kind of said, look, we have all of these discussions that we just have in our weekly meetings, or sometimes more than that, you know, we chat through work, and it would be great to record some of them. And today's topic is literally one of those conversations. And we've just had our weekly team chat. We did talk about this a little bit, but because we knew we were going to be doing a recording, we then said, well, hang on a minute, let's stop this right now and record this in a few minutes for the show. So that's where we are. And it's interesting because the reason we were talking about it is we both had experiences in the last week or 10 days or so of having chats with different clients, completely unconnected, but actually talking around the same theme. And that's about choosing the right keywords. So that's where we're going to go today. And how that fits into a content strategy, I guess we might touch on that, and yeah, why it's important for your business or for your clients' businesses to essentially pick your battles correctly in Google. So Jeff, do you want to start a bit with how you came to this week?
I was going to say, excuse me, a slightly different. I kind of get inspired by like discussions I'll have with clients or leads and things like that. And you know, that'll be like the, oh, hey, this is something I want to talk about more because I just had this great conversation with somebody. But like you said, same thing, we piggyback off a lot of things we're doing with our team meetings and whatnot. And I've been, the same conversation kind of keeps coming up lately. And obviously in the world of SEO, you're always focused on keywords, like, hey, pun intended, focus keywords. But But I've heard some interesting claims lately, and it's been, I'm not sure if I mentioned it a week or so ago, but like some of them have been from like former SEO people who are now no longer doing SEO for some specific clients, you know, and making claims like, oh, we ranked you, you know, to the top for, you know, for several keywords. And it's like, well, which keywords, which ones? Where are they? Good keywords? Are they relevant? Do they get any traffic? Was it difficult to get there? Like, it's, yeah. So this, I've had a lot of inspiration, and I don't want to say frustration, but it is a, I kind of wish I could shake some of these people and be like, stop telling people this, stop saying these type of things, stop making these claims. And, you know, and let's actually give people the truth and understand what they need to be thinking about when they're trying to pick the keywords for their, you know, website or their client's website or for their project.
Yeah. That makes total sense. And there's, look, part of the issue with this is that I often talk to clients about traffic being a bit of a vanity metric. And in that respect, in some respects, it's not that difficult to get like 100,000 people to view a website. But to get 1,000 people to view a website that want to buy or book or inquire about what it is you do, that is a far harder thing to do than just to get eyes on. So, and of course, with websites, you have this whole difficulty level to thrown into the mix with authority and backlinks and site speed and internal links and quality of copy and user intent and you name it. So you've got, it's quite a muddy picture. But I know from the discussion we were having earlier, you know, that this former SEO person had looked at a site that they'd worked on previously. We've taken it over and are now critiquing the fact that they'd ranked it in the top few positions for more keywords than we've had. But actually, when we look at the keywords, they're not really relevant to the business. They don't really have a lot of traffic. And we know, or we can be fairly certain that the work we're doing is going to lead to better inquiries or more inquiries for the client over a period of time.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing specifically about this one unnamed client that we're talking about is when this person left, they also deleted the content pages that they had done and were getting ranked for. So yeah, surprise, surprise, you're not ranking for that all of a sudden. What do you expect?
Damn me. But
here's the thing, and this information is easy enough to find out there, right? I mean, there's all these tools. You can find out what the traffic for keyword is. We're not going to go into the tools right now. But if you look for a keyword and it gets 100 searches a month, that's only 100 people that ranking top you're probably going to reach. You could potentially reach. If the keyword that you're putting the work in has 1,000 searches, well, that's 10 times stronger. And that's still small fries. So then you go up to, you know, a keyword that's getting 10, 20, 30,000. Those are the ones you want to be ranking for. And I'm talking about how many times somebody's actually typing that search term in Google.
Per month.
Yeah, per month. So it's like we, you know, more or less rank for white label SEO, right? But what we're not ranking for is, I don't know, think of a stupid example, Pete, like content plans for low budget clients. Like we're not doing that, even though that might be a better one, but the traffic for that isn't going to be as prevalent as white label SEO. Does that make any sense? I don't know if that's a stupid example or not, but
yeah. Well, look, it's
yeah, it is a stupid example. Thanks. Is that what
yeah, absolutely. And that's the end of the show, folks. it's not a stupid example. It's a good example. And it's absolutely the way that you need to think about it. And when you're planning the content of a website, right? So the discussion I'd had with a client was, we've worked with a client for a few months. They were initially an ads client, actually. And then we started doing some SEO with them. And we got an email this month that this guy had been talking to some bloke in the local pub this guy's theory was that SEO was just a waste of money. You were never going to get any leads for it. Your website's never going to rank. So because of that, he wanted to cancel SEO services. I'm like, dude, that's like the worst advice you could ever have. And he'd written it. He didn't specifically say it, but there was this, like, because it was an email, I didn't know whether he genuinely had this slightly threatening tone or whether it was just the way that the words have been put on the page. I didn't kind of react to it like that, but
that context is hard to understand sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. You could have read it very easily either way. I went with the better way, but still it did occur to me that there could have been a bit of like malice in what you were saying. So I went back to him and he hadn't implied anything to do with like due diligence or anything like that. And I just went back to him and said, look, this is exactly why we do keyword research. You know, if you're setting up a brand new website today and trying to sell trainers against Nike, it's going to take you forever to try and compete in that kind of marketplace. But you don't try and sell trainers against Nike when you start up a business. You try and sell trainers that are, or training shoes that are, you know, better than the next local shop in your town. And then you build up from there and you kind of expand. And that's exactly why we did keyword research, so that we can firstly structure the website in the right way. So when we have the pages that could potentially rank for those higher value keywords, those higher value, higher volume keywords. But we then also have the list of all the low volume, but with keyword difficulty stuff that we know that we're going to be able to get you to rank for relatively easily, so that we can start to show a return to you. And guess what? All of those keywords build authority for the hard keywords. So whilst, you know, we could be looking at months or years before we really rank for those ones over there, we're not saying that we're not going to provide a return for you in that period of time. We're just getting the structure right first, and then we start with the bottom of the tree and off we go.
Yeah, you can't exactly expect to dominate the search rankings for those uber competitive keywords if you don't have the authority, if you don't have the time, you know, being online, if you don't have the content there. Like, you can't just decide to rank for the top ones. Whereas you can kind of decide to rank for the ones that don't get, because there isn't any competition. Like, that's just, it's all relative to the competition, right? Like, if there's a bunch of people fighting for the same thing, it's 10 times harder, or, you know, who knows how much harder.
But that's part of the reason why you need to be really picky and choosy about the keywords that you want to rank for. Yeah. And, you know, I know in your example, some of the keywords that the client had mentioned were a little tenuous, let's say. You know, they were technically applicable to what the client did and what they sold, what they wanted inquiries for. But actually, that was more of a human kind of tenuous kind of link. We're dealing with an algorithm here. It's either black or it's white. Yeah. So if you can't have tenuous. So if when you have your keyword research done, it's really important that you are looking at keywords and keywords related to those keywords that are directly applicable to what you actually are trying to achieve. And if they're not, then they're not the right keywords. Now, and take your point exactly. You know, you look at the keywords with 100 searches a month, and then you can 10x it if you go for the one with 1,000 searches a month. But actually, if you're starting out the gate right now, my money would probably be to start with 100 searches a month one. Because let's face it, a keyword that's relatively low difficulty, by that I'm saying, let's say, under 25 or 30%, a difficulty level with search volume of 100 searches a month, the reality is you might only need one page or a page with a supporting post, let's say, to build a couple of internal links. And you could be in a really meaningful ranking place for that, particularly if you've used a tool to benchmark your content, so you know you're writing content that is going to compete against people that are already ranking there. And if you've got a new website, getting 100 people to view it is mega. You know, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's actually, you know, not bad for, like, if you've just launched a website, if you're relatively new. Yeah, getting some. We see a lot of websites where they're in the hundreds of traffic, and that's fine for them. That's totally a success.
And our mythical plumber that one day we're going to meet the plumber that we mention on nearly every show. If you're that mythical plumber, you know, you've only got a finite amount of time. There's only you and a van and your spanners and whatever in the back. You don't need hundreds of thousands of visits to your website each month. You just need the phone to ring at a constant enough rate that you are busy with work, and that you don't want it to ring too much, because otherwise you're going to start to pee people off, because I can't come to your leaking pipe right now or your burst water main right now because I'm fitting somebody's bathroom. What I can do is fit you in 4 weeks on Tuesday. It just doesn't, you know, those kind of business, or every business has like a capacity that it's working, you know, a critical mass that it's working towards. And if you push over that, you start annoying people, and then they go start finding somebody else. So you lose customers, ironically. So, you know, in that scenario, you've got to decide, right, well, if we're pushing through it, am I going to take on another plumber and actually start to build a business? But our mythical plumber, because it's my story, doesn't want to do that. He wants to work for himself and build his own little kingdom and just live a happy life with Mrs. Plumber.
Mrs. Plumber. You know, I actually have a fantastic plumber in my town that we've used a couple times. And when we first used them, it was one guy and an assistant and no website, nothing. I've never approached him to do any services for him. So, you know, I missed that boat. But I noticed that the last time we needed them, we've used them for like 6 years now. So last time we needed them, I couldn't remember their phone number. So I Google it. Sure enough, they have a great presence now. And there's a call center and a receptionist and appointment center. And I'm just like, oh, okay, you were prepared for that. Most people not going to be able to do that. Not going to. So they'll sign up for SEO and, you know, get all these leads, and then in 2 months cancel because they're overwhelmed with the work. Like, that's a great problem to have, but, you know, they're putting it in and they're getting the results. It's a good way to see it actually come to fruition. I did want to say that you're totally right about ranking for those keywords, those lower ones, isn't bad. Like, it is a good thing, and it's a great place to start. My sense is the people that have been, you know, sites have been up for several years, and it's like, well, you're putting a lot of effort into, you know, little return when they should be working on the bigger ones at this stage. So that's, you know, it's like, I feel it was very misleading information that they were trying to brag about. Yeah. And I've seen this like 4 times in the last couple of weeks. So like, I'm kind of worried that some people might be like, hey, they're talking about my client, and I might be, but I'm also talking about several, trust me.
Yeah. Yeah. We do have this discussion quite a lot, and it is really important that all we're really talking about is you pick your battles. That's mm-hmm. that's the thing. And the right advice, and the advice that you don't often hear online, the advice you don't hear when you're getting people emailing you. I mean, I'm getting like 7 or 8 emails every day, people trying to sell me SEO services. I'm like, you don't really know your audience, do you?
Yeah.
The advice you don't get in those emails is actually about choosing the right keywords. And that directly affects the result you're going to achieve for the client. And we've talked about, you know, I've been on the soapbox before on the show about the kind of moral duty we have to clients to make sure that their business can cope with the influx of leads and traffic that we achieve for them, regardless of how you do it, be it through ads or SEO or, you know, content writing or billboards, or it doesn't matter. Can they actually cope with the volume? But with SEO, you have the ability to control that a little by picking your battles. And you've got to weigh that up as the right thing for the end client and their business. If that's your agency, then fine, you take one step out of this loop. But it also means that you as the agency need to be safeguarding your future relationship with the client by advising them about things that you can be fairly confident you're going to be able to see a return on. Because likewise, nobody's going to pay an SEO retainer if in 8, 9, 10 months time or a year's time, you're still where you are now, you know, and they haven't seen an increase in orders. So you've got to take that balance quite seriously.
Yeah, definitely. Especially, I think if they're coming, like the clients are coming with all these creative ideas, you know, hey, I want to do this. Well, I want to rank for X, Y, and Z. All right, well, let me actually put the work in. Let me do a little audit. Let me do some keyword research. Let me find out if this is worth our time, worth your time specifically. I'm not saying worth us taking you, but you know what I mean? Can putting this effort in actually get you the results? And, you know, and then at the same time, if it's not, let's advise on the correct way to do it, because there's no point in just doing the work for the wrong efforts.
Yeah. It couldn't be better. And it couldn't be more right. And it's amazing how many clients I talk to that say, I want to rank for this. And when you ask them why, they don't really know. Or they give you the stock answer of, oh, well, it's got 10,000 searches a month. Yeah, but that doesn't mean that 10,000 people want what you do.
I feel that they're always very like self maybe it's not the right term, but like self-centered or egotistical. It's like, well, that, cause that's our brand name. Like they're cute brand names or whatever. And like, that's another thing that's easy to rank for. And you'll see on sometimes, I mean, you'll see it on our report sometimes too. It's like, oh, look, they're top 3-4, their brand name. Well, that's good, I guess. But it's also nothing to really like be super proud of. It's pretty easy.
Can you remember when we launched SEO Hive? We launched it and our website went live on April the 1st, 2020. That was the day that the service launched. And before the end of April, somebody had commented in one of the Facebook groups that, oh, well, they can't be that good. They're not number one for their own brand name. And we were in position 2. And it was like, dude, give us a chance, right? We're just living proof. We're just like everybody else. Some of this stuff takes a bit of time. And I think by the end of May, I remember taking a screenshot and sending it, digging out the chat in Facebook and sending a screenshot saying, well, it didn't take us long to get to number one, did it?
Yeah. Oh, well, that was easy. But at the same time, that time and everything was also a bit of a learning experience about being cute, right? Like we did this whole brand name with, you know, SEO Hive, and you know, we had this whole theory about bees and hives, and it's cute and it's fun and that's our branding and whatever. But then we did we named our services like the Honey Pot, which we've recently, after like way too long, realized if we just call it a content plan, people would search for it more.
Yeah,
you know, so people we fell into know that what trap, it does. Right? Yeah, we fell into that vanity trap. I mean, I get it. You know, it felt cool to try to brand it and everything, but
now we've freed up the term honey. We need a new service called the Honey Trap.
The Honey Trap. Oh yeah, there you go. You know what? Actually, I think we need to stop that conversation there. I'm afraid that might be something that pops up on Urban Dictionary that I don't want to find out.
Yeah, but we did. We did. I actually have a list on my phone, a PDF that I found somewhere online of all bee-related terms. Yeah. Every time we were having like, oh, well, we need a product for this, or we need a service for this, or, well, what can we call it? I grab the PDF and I'm like, you know, well, in fact, and this is a real insight into the insides of SEO Hive. The management list that you and I have in ClickUp is called Queen Bee Tasks.
It is the Queen Bee Tasks. The Queen Bee Tasks. I think, though, I have to give credit where credit is due. I think I got that from Mike Michalowicz in one of his books. Not Profit First, but in Clockwork, maybe? Clockwork?
Well, I've not read that
so one. So he refers to like the, you know, the decision maker, the CEO or whoever, as the queen bee. And so, you know, all the workers support the queen bee, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, Mike Michalowicz, turns out you actually were a little bit of an inspiration behind the SEO Hive's name and branding.
Hey, well, you know, it would be really cool one day to get Mike Michalowicz on the show. So maybe we should. Well, we've now given him a shout out.
Maybe we should try.
We've now given him a shout out. And we have mentioned him before. So maybe we should put a couple of links in this and I'll see if I can. I actually know somebody that knows Mike Michalowicz. So maybe we'd be able to get this show, this episode.
Well, let's have our podcast outreach manager reach out to them and make something happen.
All right. That's me.
Oh yeah. Wait, we don't have an official podcast outreach manager. Maybe soon. Maybe one day.
Yeah, maybe. You know, Mike Michalowicz first, World Domination second. There's the roadmap.
Hey, SEO Hive is hiring for a volunteer podcast outreach manager.
Great rates of pay in certain currencies.
Yeah, emphasis on the volunteer right now.
So, look, I right. Have we talked? Have you got anything else? Have we talked about? I think we've sort of hammered home the point about choosing the right keywords.
Yeah. I mean, look, this isn't a tutorial or a training session or anything, but this is just one of those kind of like, I think, realizations that people need to have every now and then. And that's, you know, let's make decisions with data. You know, let's make the decisions based on what we can actually prove and work towards. There's nothing wrong with throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks. You know, I'd rather rank for more than less always, but if you're going to put the efforts in, make them worth your while.
Yeah. And if somebody's paying a bill for it, I think that's where I don't know. I feel this sense of like responsibility. I have to get it right for these people. And right. Plus I have this drive, you know, this from working with me now for a few years. I can't be beaten. I will not be beaten by any of this crap ever, you know, be it feeds to whatever or keywords or rankings or dev issues or business issues, or I just can't be beaten. I will keep on working at it until it's right, until it's done. Maybe that's my flaw. I don't know. Mrs. Everett isn't here at the minute. She'd highlight many, many flaws, I'm sure. But anyway, let's not get there. That's going to take this podcast in a very different trajectory.
I'm not even going to start it about me, because we'll never stop talking about my flaws. But I'm otherwise perfect except for all the flaws.
Yeah. Maybe we need to start a club.
The Flawless Flawed Club.
So, look, it's been a bit of a rambling episode. But yeah, it's I feel like without opening another can of worms, we'd end up sort of launching into something else. So I think it's a good place to bring this one to a wrap. Sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, it's another quick one, or another good one in the books, slightly quicker than normal.
Well, yeah, you know, those people that did manage to get through the intro, I think it's like our due diligence to make sure we give them a few minutes back at the other end of the show. I think that's,
yeah, but we've lost them now, though. We've lost them now.
Well, look, if we hope you found it useful. We'd actually love to know if you've had some really stupid SEO advice. That could be a really fun thing to run on social media or something.
Yeah.
So if you've heard some really stupid SEO advice, either go and ping it on our Facebook page or somewhere, or just email a screenshot or something over to hello@seohive.com.
Comment if you're watching this on YouTube. Yeah, let's collect some of these really silly, stupid, terrible advices. I'm already looking forward to recording that episode. That's going to be so fun. So fun.
And you know, if you're commenting on YouTube, just make sure that you hit that subscribe button and the like button and the bell button. Why can't they wrap three buttons into one button?
Right.
You know, I mean, like, I understand if you want to have like a subscribe and then like a subscribe plus or something, and there's like two buttons and you just have to pick one that does the bit that you want it to do. But geez. Anyway, yeah, make sure you subscribe, because we obviously, you know, I obviously love YouTube and their interface. But yeah,
please, Pete, please, we're trying to win the YouTube algorithm, and here you are complaining about YouTube.
Well, in fairness, we haven't tried complaining about YouTube as a means to improve our rankings in their algo. So
yeah, okay,
let's give it
fair,
a go.
Fair, let's give it a shot. Let's give it a shot.
But yeah, while you're there. But no, seriously, it would be fun to see them. And if we get enough, yeah, we'll compile them into some kind of show, or maybe invite people to like record sound bites of them. I don't know. We'll get something done. But only if we get enough. So if you've got some really bad advice that you've received, and it's in an email, or even if it's just a tale that you want to just tap out quickly, get it over to us somehow, somewhere. And yeah, that'd be a fun thing to do.
I'm looking forward to it. Until then, like, subscribe, comment on your thing and podcast player of choice, blah, blah, blah. Thank you for listening.
SEO stack. We'll see you there. And we will see you in the next show.
The WP SEO Show is brought to you by SEO Hive, your agency's proactive white label SEO partner. We understand that finding a reliable SEO supplier is key to ensuring you build stable monthly recurring revenue into your digital agency. At SEO Hive, we have a suite of products that will help you sell, scale, and deliver your monthly SEO retainers, from our Scout reports and one-off technical boosters, to our flagship local SEO and honeypot plans, all of which have clear pricing and monthly deliverables. If you want to explore how SEO Hive can help your agency deliver high-quality and reliable SEO agreements for your clients, you can find more information at seohive.co and schedule a call to discuss the next steps.